This afternoon, the Lord instructs us from His Word regarding the ninth commandment, as that is summarized for us in Lord's Day 43. So let us read several passages from Scripture concerning the truth and the lie. And we begin in Genesis chapter 3, and we read the verses 1 through to 7. Genesis 3, verses 1 through to 7. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Let's also turn to the New Testament, to John chapter 8. And we read the verses 31 to 37, 31 to 47. John 8, beginning at verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits a sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abram's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed from forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear, because you are not of God." So far, and our last reading comes from Revelation chapter 1, and we read verses 1 through to 8. Revelation Revelation 1, beginning at verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and a ruler over kings on earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. All the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. So far from the reading of Scripture, let's also turn to our confessions. We turn to Lord's Day 43. What is required in the ninth commandment? I must not give a false testimony against anyone, twist no one's words, not gossip or slander, nor condemn or join in condemning anyone rashly and unheard. Rather, I must avoid all lying and deceit as the devil's own works. Under penalty of God's heavy wrath, in court and everywhere else, I must love the truth, speak and confess it honestly, and do what I can to defend and promote my neighbour's honour and reputation. So far from the reading of our text. After the proclamation of God's word, let's respond with singing together from Psalm 62, verse 1, 2, and 4. Beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, Australia is known for its wild bushfires, the power and destruction that they often leave behind. It shows no mercy, and everything in its path is consumed and destroyed. And sometimes we see before and after photos on the internet, on the news, of a landscape or a town that had been devastated by fire. We see how it was green and lush and beautiful, but then brown and black and grey, all from a very small beginning. Every fire has a very small beginning. It starts as a flame. James speaks about how a great forest can be set ablaze by a flame. A smouldering cigarette or a spark of an angle grinder or the deliberate match of a firebug. This is quite a sightening sight. And the Holy Spirit uses the same picture to speak about the power and destruction that the tongue can cause, the hardest part of the body for us to tame. God created the tongue and our ability to communicate, and he did so that we might speak the truth, and we were able to do that because he created us in righteousness and holiness. However, we know that Adam and Eve, they listen to the lies and deception of the devil. They plunge themselves and all their descendants into a world of lying and deceit, gossip and slander, evil speaking, teasing, pesting, and the list goes on and on. All those destructive words and things that can come out of our mouth that hurt others. It's like setting something on fire. That can also be the destruction of the tongue and of our words. And yet by God's grace, brothers and sisters, he would not allow the lies and deceits of the evil one to have the last word. He is recreating this world, and he is doing that with his word. He is doing that with the truth who is Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, he through whom the Father is reconciling and bringing all things together, restoring and recreating the world and also us. That also means that our hearts, that also means our tongues, so that we can live also as God's children in the freedom and the joy of the ninth commandment. And this afternoon we may consider the gospel as God proclaims and has that taught to us as summarized in the ninth commandment in Lord's Day 43. So I may summarize the theme as follows: the faithful witness calls us to bear witness to the truth. We first of all see false witness and then faithful witness. Beloved, every commandment specifically deals with a certain aspect of our life. The first commandment is about who we worship, and the second about how we worship. The third commandment concerns God's name, and the fourth concerning rest, and the fifth authority, the sixth killing, the seventh sexuality, the eighth possessions, and now we come to the ninth commandment that primarily concerns our relationship with the truth. While all the commandments in some way deal with the truth, the ninth commandment in particular is dealing with the truth and our speech. Knowing and understanding truth can only first be found in God himself, and that is where we must start. God is the one who we learn about in Scripture is truth. We read in the Bible that to know God is to know truth. We read in Numbers 23:19 that God is not a man that he should lie. The Bible calls God the true God, 2 Chronicles 15, verse 13. In the Bible, we read that God is a God of truth, Isaiah 65:15, and that the words of the Lord are true and righteous, Psalm 19, verse 9. And because God is true and his word is true, it means everything that God does, everything that God says is true. God's word makes what is real. God speaks, and there is. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. By his word, he created the seas and the dry land, the plants and animals. His word also said to Adam and Eve, "If you eat in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." So God's word creates. It creates reality. And that is what is true. God created Adam and Eve. He created them in true righteousness and holiness. He gave them a will. He gave them a mind. He gave them the power to speak. He also did that in such a way that they were able to speak the truth. They were able to uphold the truth, that they could walk in the truth and be true. And when they did this, it would go well for them. There's a close relationship between truth and peace. Where truth abounds, there is peace. But where there is lies and deception, then there is destruction. If Adam and Eve continued to walk in truth, it would go well for them. They would not die, but they would continue to enjoy the peace and the freedom they had to live as God's children in the creation. When truth reigns, there is peace. And that is what Adam and Eve had in the garden. Our catechism teaches us that the source of the lie and deceit is from the devil. In John 8, we read together, verse 44, says that the devil is the father of lies. We see this at the very beginning when he tempted Adam and Eve. The principal lie and the temptation of the devil was that Satan was slandering God's character and who he is. As if God was in some way holding out on Adam and Eve, as if God was not seeking the good and best interests of his creatures. And that if only they departed from God's word, the truth that God had given to them, then they would attain to something greater than what God had given them. They would attain to being like God themselves. And in this temptation, we see that the devil, he slanders the character of God. We see how he lies and deceives Adam and Eve. The devil in this regard misconstrued the reality of God and who God is in the mind of the woman. He gave a false testimony about the one and only true God who created all things. And that's what lies and deceit does. It misrepresents the world as God had created. It misrepresents God for who he is. By lies and deceit, the devil tries to create an alternative reality to the one that God had made. And we see the effects of that immediately taking place after the fall. Because the creation that was originally beautiful and perfect, true reality, that God had created, good, as we read in Genesis 1, that now takes on the curse of creation because of the lie and because of the deception. The lie and deception had created an alternative reality to the one that God made. And we see that Adam and Eve, they also then follow suit from the works of the devil. Adam twists the truth by blaming his wife Eve. And in an attempt to excuse herself, Eve also blames the serpent. And so consequently, by embracing the lie of the devil, Adam and Eve also were seeking to create their own reality. If Adam and Eve lived by obedience, they would have lived in God's good world that he'd created. It would have been wonderful, but the lie that they construed, they tried to misrepresent what had actually taken place. They thought that by misrepresenting what had taken place, it would be better for them. And yet, we know that that's not the case. It was indeed much worse for them. In listening to the lies of the devil, and also following in the footsteps of their father, the devil. Because the lie and deception never leads to the truth. It can never restore or create better than what God has made. It only leads to destruction. And in a similar way, beloved, when we lie, when we deceive, when we misrepresent falsely what is true and real, we are in fact misrepresenting the world and reality as it really is. And when that is being done deliberately, it is an attempt in our own way to recreate the world as I want it to be. Rather than the way that it is, rather than the way that God has created it to be. And the Catechism gives a number of examples of how we try and twist and manipulate the world and reality in such a way as to try and create our own little kingdoms on the earth, twisting someone else's words, gossip and slander, condemning others rashly or without hearing their side of the story. And the Bible says about how all these ways of lying and deception, how all these ways are so destructive. The Bible teaches us about gossip. In Proverbs 26, it speaks about how gossip causes quarreling. Gossip doesn't restore the beautiful creation that God had made. Gossip, in fact, works against God's truth. It produces quarreling and arguing. Proverbs 16, verse 28 teaches us that gossip even breaks relationships. Gossip separates close friends, we read there in Proverbs 16, 28. That's not the way the Lord had created the world. He created it to be peace and harmony built on truth. And so those who engage in behaviors also stir up trouble, and it can cause anger and frustration and bitterness and pain amongst others, because gossip causes quarreling and can separate friends. The Catechism also speaks about slander. Slander is to say something that damages another person's conduct or character. We saw how Satan did that to God in creation. in the garden with Adam and Eve. We read how Joseph also was suffered at the hands of slander because Potiphar's wife gave a false report about who Joseph is and what he did, and consequently he was thrown into prison. And the Catechism also speaks about condemning others or joining in condemning others as well, rashly, so without hearing the other side of the story, making quick judgments on people's actions and behaviours. And in all these things, brothers and sisters, they are examples in which we can try and manipulate and twist reality to suit ourselves. And in that sense, we are trying to create our own world, trying to create our own kingdom as we want it to be, as we see that we think it should be. And yet in all these things, it is rather leading further and further away from the truth. It brings more and more destruction in God's creation, in relationships, in the world, and also in the church too. And notice how the Catechism says that then we must promote the truth, that we must speak the truth and love the truth, that we have to do that in court and everywhere else. Israel were also a people who were given God's word and were to live according to the truth. They were given laws for how they were to regulate their society. They were given laws of and justice. In the ancient Near East, during the days of Israel, particularly the Old Testament, their law and justice was very different to ours today. The legal system was exercised by elders, and particularly elders of a particular town. And they formed, as it were, the jury of that town. We see this, for example, in the case of Boaz. Boaz is with 10 men outside the city near Bethlehem, before whom he set forth his case. A case is set before them in the city gates, the place where the court was held. And it was common for individual judges like Samuel to be in the gates of the city, or to go on a circuit from town to town to hear court cases and make judgments. And all this relied on witnesses, people to speak the truth. Much different than what we have today. A justice system which has access to fingerprints and DNA, lawyers and detectives. These ancient legal systems relied heavily on the presence and role of witnesses and that they would speak the truth. And so for this reason, witnesses held the decisive sway over life and death. And the testimony of two or three witnesses could easily give somebody the death sentence. Think of that time when Jezebel was construing a plan to take Naboth's vineyard, and she writes to the elders of Naboth's city to find two worthless fellows, and they falsely accuse Naboth of blasphemy. And as a result, Naboth is then stoned to death. So in that way, the witnesses had the power of life and death in the words that they spoke. And in light of how serious the role of a witness was in the Old Testament, the ninth commandment warns strongly against a lying witness. But not only is the ninth commandment concerned with courtrooms and court cases and city gates, it's also concerned with our own lives individually. The Catechism says there, not only in the courtroom, but everywhere else. That's because the ninth commandment extends to every area of our life. The Catechism in Scripture is clear that God hates gossip and slander, quick judgments, false representations of what really is. In fact, we read that his wrath burns against this. In the Old Testament, false witnesses were severely punished because of the power that they had in their words. In the Old Testament, words had the power to put someone to death, quite literally, as we saw in the case of Naboth and Jezebel. And thus the integrity of a witness was utmost importance for there to be peace and order in Israel. And so also, brothers and sisters, our words, while may not carrying the power of life and death, our words nonetheless have the power to destroy. They can destroy someone's character. They can destroy someone's reputation. They're able to paint a false reality of someone else, of someone's family, of the church. A reality that God did not intend to create, nor is he recreating. And that is what is being emphasized here. Our gossip, brothers and sisters, our slander, our twisting and others' words, our judging others, the words that we speak, what we say, our deceit also, they are all attempts to do what Satan and Adam and Eve did at the very beginning in the garden, trying to recreate another world where we are the king, creating our own little kingdom of how we think reality should be, the reality of other people, how other people should view this or that or see or think about those people or that person or the church or everything else or how they should think and feel about me. And the danger of all of this is that rather than working in God's creation and in promoting the peace and righteousness and justice, we are in fact, in all these ways, tearing down what God has created or tearing down what God is recreating and building in someone else's life or in the church. In fact, we can even set fire in a way to the world through our tongue. We can set fire to somebody's life. We can set fire to a family or our friends or brothers and sisters in the church by the words that we speak. That is what James says in chapter 3. The tongue is a fire, setting on fire the whole course of life and set on hell by fire. That's right, brothers and sisters. Gossip, slander, judging, rash condemnations of others, misrepresenting the truth, the world, not telling the truth. That is like creating hell on earth, setting fire and destruction. And sometimes people can feel that, can't they? You can feel that your life could be ruined by the power of somebody else's words, the things that they speak, the hurt and pain that that can cause and can cut deep, maybe for even years and years to come. That's the power of words, brothers and sisters. But there is also another power of the word in the world, beloved, that we've received from God. A power of his word that is at work to overcome the lies and deceptions of the devil and also to give us new hearts and new tongues. And we see that in our second point, a faithful witness. Beloved, we need to return as those whom God has set apart from sin and from the devil and from lying and deception. We need to return to the truth and see what God is doing and bringing in the world through his word and through the truth. God is bringing us together to himself and also as his people by his word. And sadly, as we saw in our first point, it's often our words that often work against this. These sins, beloved, can resist the work that God is doing in our own lives and in the lives of others and in the church. When we gossip and speak evil about others, saying things that aren't true, in fact, we are working against what God is doing in the church because he is recreating his kingdom in the world through his word, which is the truth. The greatest work that God did was the sending of his own son into the world. And he bears the sins that we commit against the ninth commandment. Because, beloved, we have not always kept the ninth commandment perfectly, have we? Because we did not bear witness to the truth and stand in the truth of our first parents, Adam and Eve, we're all guilty of choosing the lie that came from the devil's mouth. We listen to his deception and his lies rather than the truth that comes from God's word. And what it ultimately took for the Lord Jesus to be crucified for our sins against the ninth commandment was a well-orchestrated and organized lie too. We read about that in the Gospels, that the chief priests and the scribes, the elders, the council, they all sought false witnesses. They brought them against Jesus to put him to death. And then there was no one found, no consistency found in all these reports, though many false witnesses came together. At least two then came forward, and they were able to try and create and fabricate a false testimony against the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would destroy the temple and rebuild it. And they interpret that to be a lie when in fact that was the truth. He would rebuild the temple because he is building a new people, a new church, a new kingdom of God, doing that through his own death and also doing that through his word and the truth that he now sends into the world. The words of the Lord Jesus were twisted, and as we saw in the two false witnesses, he was the object of much gossip and slander and false judgment. And he went to the cross, even though it was the biggest orchestrated and organized lie in the history of the world. And he hung there in the place of sinners who broke the ninth commandment. And his death is now sufficient to cover all of our sins, all our gossip, all our slander, all our rash judgments, all those things we've said that are not true. And so that means we have the forgiveness of sins. But it also means that we're delivered then from the power of the lie and delivered from the power of deceit of the devil and delivered also from tongues and hearts that would choose lies and deceits above the truth. And this now means that we can walk as children of the truth. God has revealed to us his truth in Jesus Christ, he who is the very word of God himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life, says the Lord Jesus Christ. And now by the power of his word, which is the truth, he is now through his word sanctifying his people, the church, as we read in John 17. And he sanctifies them by his Holy Spirit and through his word and purifies us so that we may love one another, says 1 Peter 1. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another with a fervent love, with a pure heart. So by his word, brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, God is creating a new reality, a new world, a new creation. His word, which is reliable and dependable, is recreating the world, overcoming the kingdom of lies and deceptions and the devil, redeeming it from the power and grasp of the devil, of Satan, conquering the lie in the Lord Jesus Christ. His word has now gone out to the ends of the world as he has overcome the power of lie and deception, as he has also opened the eyes of the blind so they may see the truth, that they may hear the truth, and so also then walk in the truth in the kingdom that God is building to the ends of the world. A people who now love the truth, who delight and desire in the truth. The Catechism speaks about these people in the last part of the Catechism. Those whom are us, beloved, who confess this, about how we have this new relationship to the truth, who is a person, Jesus Christ, that we love the truth. That means we love God. That means we love Jesus Christ. He is the truth of God. He is the Word of God. And that means we also speak and confess it honestly, as we have there in the Catechism, and do what I can to defend and promote my neighbor's honor and reputation. And so we love the Lord. We confess the Lord. And we also build and encourage each other in the Lord, because he is the truth, the word that we've received from God. And now that God has given us the truth, we can confess that and speak that. And so let us be a truthful and reliable people, beloved, not devious and deceitful. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, God is deeply concerned that we be a people who speak the truth to each other, also as members of the body of Christ and the church. Because, remember, there is that close relationship between truth and peace. We have peace with God through the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. We also have peace amongst each other's brothers and sisters when we are also loving the truth. When we love the Lord, then we will also speak the truth and be a people of truth, and we will then also experience his peace amongst us too, in our own lives, in the church, in our relationships, and now through the work of Jesus Christ. The power of the Spirit in our lives gives us a new power at work within us, in our mind, in our will, in our hearts, in our intellect. Those whom we'd been created in Adam and Eve to be, but lost through the lies and deception, we have now restored in Jesus Christ. And through His Spirit, He is now also perfecting us and purifying and sanctifying His new people that He has called us to be a part of. We are to now use the truth that He has given to us to promote and build His kingdom here in the church, out in the world. That is the beautiful task that we now have as His people, to love the truth and confess the truth and promote the truth. We've already seen how the power of the tongue in the Old Testament held life and death, and how today our words can cause so much damage to another person. Well, beloved, let's think about what we can do with our tongue for the good of others. Our words can break relationship, yes, but they can also reconcile relationships too. Our words can make somebody very angry and upset, but our words can also calm them down and speak peace and comfort to them. Our words can make a commitment to somebody, but our words can also betray somebody as well. Words start wars between nations, and words can also bring peace. Words can set fire in the church, but words spoken in love can also edify and build up. And so you see, beloved, the power of the tongue that God is recreating through His Spirit, giving us this word and the truth. And when we do this, beloved, what we'll begin to see is the new reality, the new creation that God is intending for us, that God is intending and building in the world, a new creation of peace and joy where love abounds. No more anger and frustration or bitterness or envy or jealousy or judgment or gossip or slander. Those are the things of the kingdom of Satan. But those have been overcome by the kingdom of Christ. And His kingdom will come. His kingdom will grow. His kingdom will go forward because His word is the truth. He is creating a new world. And He will also complete that, brothers and sisters. He will bring that to completion one day by the power of His word, which is the truth. That word which defeated the kingdom of lies and deceit is now going to the ends of the world, and He will then also return, beloved. He will come again on the clouds of heaven, and He will have the final word. And that will once and for all end all lying. It will end all deceit, and it will cast into the lake the devil and all his children who walked and practiced the lie and deceit. But now as children of the Father, we know that He will preserve us in the truth. He has given us His word. He has given us His Holy Spirit to stay with us and to remain with us. And we will receive the new creation where truth and righteousness and peace will reign. Amen.